Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Psalm 68, 5 and 6, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. My guests today are local foster parents, Tom and Kendra Mallow of Germantown, New York. Tom and Kendra attend Rock Solid Church in Hudson, where I know there are many foster and adoptive families, including the pastor and his wife. So welcome, Tom and Kendra.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you. Welcome.
It is such an honor to have you on the show. Let me start with Kendra. You and Tom have three biological kids. Gianna is 17, Tommy is 14, and JoJo is 12. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Good. And it sounds like a full house. So why did you guys become foster parents?
Well, it was quite a few years ago. We had a close friend who was already a foster parent, and she had a little girl with her in her home when I was there, and she was upset and she was crying. And in that moment, I felt like God just burned it into my heart that that's what we needed to do. I just couldn't imagine a child not having a family to be with and to be loved by. And so in that moment, I just knew that that was what I needed to do. And, so of course I went home and told Tom all about it, and he wasn't quite ready at that point. So we had to wait a little bit.
That's very common. Oftentimes the Lord really does birth it into the mom's heart. And clearly the Lord used that encounter with that little girl to just touch your heart. So, Tom, what were your reservations about doing foster care, and what finally got you on board?
Well, my reservations had to do with really, I think, selfishness. I was hesitant because of the fact that foster children, you don't get to keep them, and I was insecure in myself at that part of my own walk with Christ that I wouldn't be able to let them go, and I didn't want to bring children into the home at that point and love them and do what it is that you're supposed to do with children as a dad, and then say goodbye after a week, a month, a year, 10 years, whatever it may be. So I wasn't, in myself, I wasn't able at that point to do that.
Mm. Yeah, and that's common...
And then you said, how did I finally get on board?
Yeah.
Well, it was during, now that was, goodness, in 2006 or 2007, I think, and it was in a time of prayer and fasting in 2011 or 12 that God, I mean, during a long time of prayer and fasting, and I wasn't praying and fasting just for foster care in particular, but during that time, God revealed it to me that you need to do this.
Mm.
And it was just a matter of divine revelation, really. And the message he gave to me, which I came home and told my wife, was that we need to love these kids, they're his kids, as your own children while you have them. And I remember coming home while I was fasting and telling Kendra, I said, so what do we have to do to be foster parents? And she nearly hit the floor because she had no idea that God was doing this in me at all.
Wow.
And so that was the transition right there that got me on board. And then there was one time where that was on board with fostering. And then there was one time after that, I was at where I work, the home office of where I work, and there was something called the Heart Gallery.
Mm.
And as I walked through the hallway to where I was supposed to be, I stopped and I looked at these pictures of these kids. And there were different ages of kids, and they all needed to be adopted all over the state of New York. And at that point, I came home, and I already was in for foster care, and I told Kendra, I said, okay, honey, we're all in. And she's like, what's that mean? I said, we're all in. Whatever the need, we are there, and we're going to do it. Whether it's adoption, foster care, whether it's respite, it doesn't matter. We're all in.
Mm, I love it. All in. So, and that's your reservation is a very common one. That's something that I hear a lot. People will say, I don't know if I can love and pour my life into a kid that ends up a week or a month or a year later leaving. But really, I've also heard it said that if that's how you feel, if you feel that you would get that attached to a kid, you'd make a perfect foster parent because that's what they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you did become certified foster parents through Northern Rivers, which formerly is Northeast Parent and Child Society and Parsons. We've said those names on the show quite a few times before. They've merged and now they're under the umbrella of Northern Rivers. How long have you been fostering and how many children have come into your home?
It's been about 3.5 years at this almost 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've had a total of 11 children come and go, including our two girls that we adopted.
Yeah, so about halfway into those years, two special little girls came into your home. Tell us about Isabella and Paige.
Isabella and Paige, they are 8 and 9. Isabella's about to be 10. She'll tell you she's 10 already, but she's not. Next week. They are two very energetic, beautiful little girls who we have absolutely fallen head over heels in love with. And we are just so blessed that they're here. We've learned so much from them. We've grown in the process, as well as, you know, watching what God is doing in their lives. So,
well, it happened as a Christmas gift, you know. It was December 26th, 2013. And they were delivered to our doorstep by my friend Travis, and he came there that day and had these two little girls. And when they came in, it was Christmas time. Our kids were filled with the joys of Christ and the season, our three biological children, and it was instantaneous that our children welcomed them into our home and our family and their hearts. And that night, when Kendra and I went to bed, I told her, I said that they will be with us forever. And she said, how do you know that? I said, I just know. These two are going to be with us forever. And obviously I was right, because they are. We are their forever home and their forever family. And what's very interesting is that through the years that we've had them and we've watched them grow, we've had the same challenges with them as we've had with our three biological children. And, you know, some of the challenges were a little different, but as far as children go, they just want to be loved, and they want a relationship, and they want boundaries, and they want love. And, you know, it's the same with all of our children. And that is the story of Miss Isabella and Paige.
Wow. So they came in, December 26th, the day after Christmas. How heartbreaking that whatever was going on in their lives and in their biological family was so tragic that it landed them in foster care during that holiday season. But they landed in the right family, as we see. And tell us about their adoption. At what point did you formally begin pursuing their adoption?
Well, it was a slow process, really. I mean, there were lots of back and forth. It was lots of back and forth with the whole process with bio parents and the court system. I'm trying to think when exactly it happened. There was something that occurred in their lives that really turned the tables right about 2.5 years into the process, where we knew that was where we were headed.
Well, I think it was after about 18 to 22 months It was between 18 and 22 months when normally the plan is reunification.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it was pretty obvious that reunification wasn't going to happen. So somewhere between those months and a couple of months after that, I believe that all the stakeholders involved in the care for these two little girls were in agreement that they need to be permanently placed. And we were excited about it. And
But hesitant at the same time.
Yeah, excited and hesitant. And it wasn't a bad process at all, actually. It wasn't difficult at all. Everybody involved had a great part to play. And it was a smooth process, maybe a little lengthy, but from stories I've heard in the past, it wasn't lengthy at all. It took somewhere between 6 and 15 months. And that's not really long at all.
No.
From the point where we knew permanency in our home was going to be the plan, it took somewhere between 6 and 15 months.
For it to be all finalized.
Yeah. Yep. Mm,
incredible. Now they have their forever family. So very exciting. So I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption and foster care, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. My guests today are local foster parents, Tom and Kendra Mallo. The Mallos attend Rock Solid Church in Hudson, a great foster and adoptive church there, and they foster through Northern Rivers. If you are interested in becoming a foster parent, you can contact Northern Rivers at 518-426-2600 or on their website at northernrivers.org. Tom and Kendra, sisters Isabella and Paige were 5 and 6 years old about when you began fostering them. Now they are your daughters through adoption. Another thing I often hear families say is adoption is so expensive. I could never afford to do it. I would, but I can't afford it. It's the number one excuse, really. So could I ask how much it costs to adopt your girls through foster care?
Well, it didn't cost an exorbitant amount of money on our part at all, as far as the cost for lawyers and anything like that, because the foster agency, through the foster care stipend
and the county,
they pay for the attorney fees and all of their hard work, and the time that gets put into it is really what it costs. It costs time, it costs energy, and all the hard work of all the people involved at the foster care agency, at the county, the DSS of Columbia County, at the attorney's office. He's got a staff of people that work really hard. So I guess somewhere along the line, it's paid for through the county's budget. But out of our pocket particularly, it wasn't any money we had to pay to an attorney or to the county or anything, the courts, nothing like that at all.
So financially, there was no big adoption fee. Usually with a domestic adoption or an international adoption, you know, you can be looking at $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, depending on the country, depending on, you know, the situation. But when you adopt through foster care, the family adopting has no fees.
No. There are no fees.
Nope. Wow. We never got a bill.
A
grocery bill, but not a bill.
Yeah. And really, it's like you said, there is a financial cost, but it's really because the children are in the custody of the county when they come into foster care. All of those, the county, you know, and those agencies absorb those fees. There's no cost to the parent, just the waiting and the patience, and because it's not a fast process by any stretch. But
right.
There's thousands of kids in New York State waiting for their forever family, and you can adopt essentially with no adoption fees.
Right. Absolutely.
So Isabella and Paige are now, you said, 8 and 9, almost 10.
Yes.
How are they doing? How has the adjustment been?
I think they're doing great. Once they had that permanency and they knew that this was home and they weren't going anywhere, you could just see that stress be relieved. They really just let their guard down after that. And you know what? Every day is not always smooth sailing. We have lots of things that we need to work through with them each and every day. But they're doing great. It's just made a world of difference just knowing that this is home and we're mom and dad, and that's never going to change.
You know, one thing that's very interesting going through the process of adoption, when we just take kids into our home for foster care, one of the challenging things that we came up with, that probably others come up with too, is what do they call you? And at the beginning of this process with Paige and Isabella, they call me Pops.
Pops.
They call me Pops. And it was by no doing on my part at all that at some point in that over three years, they transitioned from Pops to Daddy. And I didn't say, oh, now you have to call me Daddy. We're going to adopt you. I didn't say that. That was the Holy Spirit moved in them and changed them. It was a very natural thing for them to do that probably anywhere from about that 6 to 15 month range, maybe a little longer from the point of adoption, they just started calling me Daddy.
Mm. Yeah, it is an amazing thing because we are our oldest daughter through adoption. We didn't foster her. She was a distant relative. And when she came into our home, she just called us aunt and uncle. I was Aunt Sandra. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was fun. I wasn't really her aunt. It was more like a third cousin kind of thing, but that's what she called us. And, you know, several years later, we did formally adopt her, and we never said anything either. And it seemed almost instantly overnight, she went from calling us aunt and uncle to mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this amazing God thing.
It is. Beautiful. And it's really, you know, last night at church, we were singing this song about restoration, and it's so beautiful to watch God and restore all of this and bring it all back around to something so beautiful. And it's been amazing to watch the whole process with the girls.
Mm. Another question people often ask about fostering is, how will it affect my bio kids? Like, this could be bad for them or a bad influence on them or, you know, something along that lines. And you have 3 kids from birth. What has been your experience with this?
As far as our family goes, we always, whenever other children come into our home, not just Paige and Bella, we always say we see the best in our kids because it takes their focus off of themselves and it puts it on someone else. And we see this heart of compassion and this heart of love and joy when they just get to, when we're preparing our home for kids that are coming. So we love it. And, you know, there are challenges along the way, and they, you know, can bicker like siblings can bicker, and we go through all those things with our kids. But overall, we absolutely see the best in our kids because it really does take the focus off of themselves.
You know, and one thing that's very interesting, like I said before, about how God changed my heart to love them as my own kids while we have them, because our bio kids and our foster kids and adoptive kids, they're all God's kids, and they're His first. And our biological kids have that same heart to love them as regular biological brothers and sisters, regardless of how they have come into our home. You know, one thing that we've always said through the years is that, and Isabel and Paige also chuckle at this, is that God delivered 3 children to the Mahlo family by way of Kendra's womb and 2 children to the Mahlo family through the front door. And we can't question the method that God uses to build our family and bring children to this home. We just accept it and move on like it's just a gift from Him either way.
That's right.
And our kids, our biological children, they feel the same exact way. These are our brothers and sisters. And like Kendra says, it's beautiful to see their excitement. It's almost like if your wife was pregnant and to see the kids' faces light up like, oh, when's the baby going to come? And when the possibility or chance arises that we're going to get another foster care placement, you could see the excitement in the kids. Like, they start asking questions. Oh, what's it going to be like? Oh, we have to do this. We have to get this ready. Oh, we have to get this bed here, and we've got to get toys and all this kind of stuff. And like she said, it brings out the best in our kids because it takes their focus off of themselves and puts them on others the way it should be.
That's right, the way it should be. As we wrap up today, Tom and Kendra, what is on your heart? And we've got time for each of you to give a little answer here. What is on your heart that you really want our listeners to know?
Well, the one thing that I would want to share is that, you know, sometimes in foster care, it's not always easy. It can be challenging, and it can be challenging because of things you have to walk through within the system, the whole system of foster care. It can be challenging with different behaviors that occur in your home. And the one thing I would say is just not to give up, because we need to remember throughout the process that God can bring beauty from the ashes. And if we give up too soon on these kids, it not only traumatizes them that much more, but we miss out. We miss out on seeing that beauty that He makes from what seems like a mess in the beginning. And we can testify to that because we've seen it with our own eyes. We've walked through it. And if we had given up in the beginning when there were, just numerous different behaviors occurring, if I had given up on that, how much would I have missed out on? I would have missed out on these two beautiful kids that get to be mine forever, and just missed out on just watching God work just because it got hard. So that would be my advice. Just don't give up, and keep pushing through, and trust that God has a perfect plan for each one of these kids, and that He brings them into our homes for a reason, and He has it perfectly picked out where they belong. So just don't give up.
Mm. Well, I think that it's our responsibility as human beings to care for one another. You see, I mean, basically, in the wild kingdom, you see animals care for one another, and sometimes humans don't even have that same heart to care for one another. And I mean, further from that, it's our responsibility as believers to care for orphans. And like it says in James 1:27, like we've discussed in the past, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, our Father, is this, to care for widows and orphans in their distress. And, one bit of advice that I give to the listeners, people who are debating this or really toiling around with it, is not to be afraid. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of power and clarity. And you should, if I can repeat the phrase, I don't know if I can, just do it. Just do it. Even though there's challenges, like Kendra had said, they come up, like the bio families and the DSS system and the past trauma of the children. Those challenges are sometimes the same challenges that you deal with without going into foster care or adoption. And what you need to do is just trust God and love as He loves. And the bottom line is that whenever you're dealing with children, it's not about you and your insecurities and your fears. It's about the kids. In spite of all those challenges, it's about the kids. And if you could step outside yourself and focus on that, then you allow God to take control and you build your relationship with Him as you're building your relationship with others. And these kids, like I've heard you say in the past, it doesn't take a perfect parent to be a foster parent.
Right.
It just takes, like what you said before, someone who has that kind of attachment to love the kids as they're your own. And, you know, it may be a little painful and hurtful in yourself to let them go at some point, but you love them while you have them. And that's what God tells us to do with our own biological children, and that's what we need to do with everybody. You love them with the people that he puts in your life while you have the opportunity to love them.
That's right. So church, there's your message, foster and adopt, right?
Amen.
So Tom and Kendra, thank you so much for not giving up, and thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having
us.
And what about you? Over 50,000 New York kids are in foster care. Many of them are waiting for their forever family. Could you be a family for a local child waiting? Contact Northern Rivers at 518-426-2600 or visit their website at northernrivers.org. You can find out what you need to do to become a foster parent. If you enjoyed this episode of Justice for Orphans, you can listen to our past shows right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by giving a tax-deductible gift, also right on our website. Justice for Orphans is an all-volunteer-run organization, and we value your support. Being a foster or adoptive parent can be very difficult at times. We've heard the Malos just share that, and I can testify to that as well. Parenting children with trauma backgrounds requires a special set of tools. My husband Wayne and I are thrilled to be able to bring you those tools as we are certified Empower to Connect parent trainers. Empower to Connect is based on the TBRI model, that's Trust-Based Relational Intervention model, developed by the late Dr. Karen Purvis of Texas Christian University's Child Development Program. Empower to Connect parent training is a biblically based program. I can testify personally that it works to bring hope and healing to foster and adoptive families. My family has walked down that road. Our regular biological parenting tools do not work with kids from hard places, kids from the foster care, from orphanages, from abandonment and neglect and abusive backgrounds. But we have the tools that are perfect to bring hope and healing to foster and adoptive families. And we'd love to share them with you and bring them to you. We're setting up our spring training sessions. So please contact me, Sandra Flack. You can contact me by email at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com or on the Justice for Orphans website to learn more about the training, to bring the training to your church. So you can contact me there. Again, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.